for January 14th, 2020. Running just a few minutes late, but we'd like to welcome everyone out to our city council meeting tonight. We'd like to start with opening ceremonies. Which would you do, the flag first?
Sure.
We'll do a opening ceremonies. We've asked Russ Kiesel to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Kevin Stallings will say open prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before thee this evening. Father, we're grateful for the blessings of our community to be able to live in this area. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the city administration that we have and the departments and the resources that our city has. We're grateful for those that are full-time employees and workers who help to maintain our systems, our utilities, our recreation, and our many blessings that we have as a community here in Mount Pleasant. So this evening, Father, we express gratitude for these many blessings that we enjoy, the freedoms we have here in this valley of San Pete. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for these members who serve on the city council, our mayor, a new mayor. And we pray a special blessing upon each of them as their willingness to serve, that they'll be inspired to help this community to grow and develop in a manner that is pleasing to the community, and that it'll be an attractive place to live and raise our children and our families. So, Father, we would ask thy spirit to be with us during this meeting. We're grateful to have the opportunity to discuss the issues that are taking place in our community, and we'd ask thy spirit to be with us. We're grateful for those citizens that are taking the time to attend this meeting. And we ask for these favors and blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. First matter of business on the agenda is the swearing-in of the newly elected officials. This will be done tonight by our deputy recorder.
Yeah,
but we'll
all stand.
She's going to do it in Spanish.
All right, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I.
Aye.
State your name.
Kiesel.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution.
Of this state.
Of this state.
And that I will.
And that I will
discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties
of my office.
Of my office
with fidelity.
With fidelity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then if you'll all just sign, please give word of thumb, and we'll have your hands signed.
So did they take pictures then or now, or did we get pictures?
So first item on the agenda, roll call.
You probably ought to have a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay. We don't have it. That's on next. That's after
oh,
the roll
yeah.
call.
Yeah, we'll have the roll call.
So you have the roll call.
That's true. Approval.
Kevin Stallings?
Yes.
Mike Olson?
Yes.
Will Kiesel?
Here.
Ronnie Glott?
Here.
Sam Draper?
Here.
Do we need to mention Justin? Is that a town of business?
Justin, yeah.
So he's going to have to be excused. Okay, next item of the business agenda, approval of the agenda items.
I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda as written for our regular city council meeting, 14th of January. Second.
Okay, so I have the motion by Kevin Stallings and seconded by Russell Kiesel to approve the agenda items for our city council meeting January 14th, 2020, or 14th of January 2020. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, next item is approval of minutes from the December 10th, 2019 regular city council meeting.
Anybody ready? You know, the only question I had is, and there was a discussion by one of the citizens came forward expressing concern about the cost of living, and this doesn't mention anything about was there any response to that, and I didn't know if that was, the recorder didn't feel like that was necessary. I thought there was a response that was very appropriate.
Yeah, there was a.
And I just maybe thought there could have been some wording because, in fact, there was a few comments, but I think Russ expressed empathy on behalf of the citizen and assured her that the city was doing everything that they could. She had several concerns, which was very well presented. And there was a response that I thought was appropriate too, and assured her that we would do what we could to ensure that any costs associated from the city would be was being met, and we're doing the best we can to keep our rates low and so forth. So anyway, that was something that I noticed wasn't there and maybe could be added. So yeah, if you feel like that's appropriate, then I would make that motion that we accept the minutes as written with the addition of a statement that there was a response made.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes for December the 10th, 2019, 6:30 p.m. regular council meeting. As it is written, other than that there might need to be a comment made as to
a response.
Us addressing Sister Prestwich and her concerns, and it might need to be written in there that we did address her concerns.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we have the approval of the minutes from December 10th, 2019 regular city council meeting, 6:30 p.m. The motion was made by Russell and seconded by Kevin. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, next thing on the agenda is the approval of the adjustments. The adjustments are from 12-1 to 12-31 of 2019 for the total of $110.50.
I'll make a motion that we approve.
I did have a question.
Oh, okay.
It's on page 20.
This
is the invoice register there, isn't it?
This is the adjustments.
Oh, okay. I didn't have nothing on that.
It's on the invoice you got.
Transaction.
Yes.
All right.
Adjustments.
So you want me to go ahead then?
Yep, go ahead.
All right. I'll make a motion that we approve the transaction register dated 12-1-19 to 12-31-19 in the amount of negative $110.50.
Make a second. Send a second. Okay, so we have the motion by Kevin to accept the transaction register and seconded by Sam to the amount of minus $110.50.
Roll call vote.
Roll call.
Kevin?
Yes.
Russell?
Yes.
Robbie?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Next on the agenda is the approval of claims and requisitions. From the requisitions dated from 12/7/2019 to 1/10/2020 for a grand total. Gotta get back to that page. Of $604,127.37. And also a requisition.
We can maybe do that.
Let's do it separate?
Yeah, let's do the invoice register.
Okay, we'll do the approval of the
invoice. That makes it a little easier. For me, anyway, I have a hard time getting through it.
You had a question on page 10?
Yeah, I was wondering who the Larson Company was.
Page 10, Larson Company?
Page 20.
20?
So, $4,150.
Yeah, that's the final billing from our city auditors that comes out and do the yearly audit.
Okay, that's the auditor. I was wondering if there wasn't. I just didn't know who that was on that one. Okay. So this charge for the landfill, we pay $13,629. Is that a year or?
That's a month, but we do, you know, collect that and then you pass a portion. The bulk of it down in the county.
Oh, okay. I understand. Okay, that's a collection that we pay.
Yeah.
All right.
So we collect it and we're able to keep a small portion for the expense and we send it on to that.
Okay. Now I know what that is. That's all I have.
Same
I
went over it today. Same way with the fire district. It's the same.
Okay. That's all I have.
I don't think I had it. I reviewed it earlier today as well. I just missed the short. A lot of pages.
Yeah. There was a lot of invoices.
So is this the new meters and everything that we purchased for the water?
Okay.
From Schultz's?
Any other concerns, questions you've seen? Had time to look over it?
You ready for motion?
I just want to ask them to. Any other concerns?
I don't have any concerns or questions.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the invoice register from 12/7/2019 to 1/10/2020 in the amount of $604,127.37.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have the motion to accept. And a motion by Russ and seconded by Kevin to accept the invoice register from 12/7/2019 to 1/10/2020 in the amount of $604,127.37. Roll call.
Kevin?
Yes.
Bull?
Yes.
Robbie?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
One other requisition we have is from the power department.
Okay. Pretty simple requisition. What it is coming out of the RDA. It's for the wire, for a couple rolls of wire, primary 15 kV wire for out to the industrial park. What we're trying to do is get that phase, those three phases down to the end
of the runway where that gentleman paid for his extension right there, so. This will get us down to that point, so.
Got the conduit all laid and we're just pulling the wire now.
Yeah, we've been keeping Paul pretty busy. Yeah, so.
Keep him out of trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
So do I have a motion to accept this requisition? I gotta get my glasses off for all those numbers. Gotta get on my bigger print.
We should just start out at 01.
Yeah, let's just start out with 01, huh? All right, so we have the requisition from the Mount Pleasant Fire Department for requisition number 113-20-201021 for the total of $13,912.50.
I'll make a motion that we approve that requisition 113-20-201021 for the electrical department in the amount of $13,912.50. And that's to, who's the vendor on that? Codell?
Yeah.
To Codell.
Yeah, all of our primary wire that we've been getting is that Okanite band. That's what it comes pretty much from Codell. They're the ones that carry that. We are looking at other options at this time with some other cable, but we've had a bad experience with some, and so we want to make sure that if we do change, we make the right decision. So,
just out of curiosity, is it copper wire or is it aluminum?
What it is, it's a primary wire, and it's rated for 15,000 volts, and in the middle it has what's called all aluminum conductor, AAC, and so it's 4-aught, and so that's about that big in the middle, and then around that has another protective layer, and then an insulation layer, and then your what you call your grounding concentrics, and then a jacket over the top of it. And that's what carries our system voltage throughout on the underground. So it's pretty complex put together, but it's all just meshed together like that. And so, but we used to do 175 mil, which was like the insulation, how thick it was. But we've had issues with the 175 mil, so we went with 220 mil, which is thicker insulation. And I think we made a good call there. So, but yeah, it's just.
Well, thanks for the explanation.
Yeah, and there's actually three wires. There's actually three wires for three phase. So that's the way it works.
Thank you.
Okay, so yeah, no problem. Motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Go ahead.
I'll second that motion.
Ronnie will second. Okay, so I have the motion by Kevin, the second by Randy, to approve the power, Mount Pleasant City Power, requisition of 113-20-201021 for the amount of $13,912.50. Roll call.
Kevin?
Yes.
Russ?
Yes.
Ronnie?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Shane.
Thank you.
So at this point in our agenda, we're to the public participation. Shane.
I should have just stayed out there. Jeannie was supposed to get me on the agenda, but I guess we kind of didn't cross the same path. And so I wanted to just brief you guys what you have in front of you. I've been talking to some engineers with ICPE, and they're the ones that's, if you remember, they're finishing up the evaluation on our system. And so hopefully I can have that to you guys back here next month sometime. But what we're trying to do now, the last time we had a big system study was back in 2009, a 10-year study. And so we want to continue that process again, and we want to do it through ICPE because they just went through our whole system,
and they have all their information, other than the information I have to get from them for the reclosures, for the loads, for our system study. And so what we want to do is go over our transmission system, which is coming into that big switch yard down there, and then coming up to the old substation, and going out to the new substation. We want to do a study on that, make sure that's going to cover our needs for 10 years and beyond. And then we also want to do a kind of cover the costs with the capacities. I know we might have some issues on the hydro line because of all the solar customers that we have coming in on there, along with our hydros. And so that's something we got to watch really close. So we want to do a study on that. We want to develop a system capital improvements project list. And then we also want to perform an impact fee study, because the way things are going, the growth we're seeing, honestly, I don't see us, without raising rates or taxes or anything like that, continuing forth without some kind of impact fee, where these new customers come in, they need to pay their share of time to the grid and not throw that burden onto the existing customers. And so that's something that we're looking into. If you guys could just maybe look over this, I'll have more information for you. This is just what I wanted to cover, the power department wanted to cover. If you guys have any suggestions whatsoever that you would like to cover, I would like to maybe see rates in there, make sure our rates are covering the cost of running the power department. Dave brought that to my attention today. And then also, if there's anything you guys have, so just read over it. If you had anything, just get a hold of me.
So when you say they've already been working with you, what part have they been playing in your development of what you've done?
When he was talking about this, the sellout?
2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
2 years
ago. We had a part of the UAMPS municipal toolkit was to make sure you know the evaluation of right. How much your system is worth.
Right. I remember when.
Yes.
And this company that.
Yeah, this is the company that's doing it for us, and they're finishing that up. They should just that, you know, they should have it by February that I can give that report to you. What we found out and kind of what's going on. So since they already have that information
right.
And everything, I think it would be good and it would save us money to have them do this study.
Didn't they take an inventory on what we have?
Yes. Yep. They have a complete, yep, do. Exactly what they did, yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing it.
And then they made a lot of recommendations too.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
And we implemented those
if I
recollect.
Yep.
A lot of them.
So. Right, right. And so, that's kind of like where we're sitting at right now. And so, being a public power entity and run by the citizens of Mount Pleasant, we want to make sure that we do have a plan in place.
Right.
And so we want to make sure that we have executed that plan since 2009. You know, we built the new substation, switch yard, metering, got all of our meters pretty much changed out except for like 8 net meters, and we're still working on trying to figure out how we're going to do those with this new metering system. But
so this will work well with our 10-year plan.
Yes,
that we've got the
yes,
overall
exactly.
City 10-year plan.
Yep,
in the process right now.
Yeah, because there's a lot of changes coming. You got EV coming in, electric vehicles coming in. You have we got the carbon free power project that's going to be. We're still looking at 2026 on that, and so we want to make sure that we're you guys as a council and as a power department that we're covering our bases and make sure that we're doing what we can do to keep our rates low and for the citizens here in Mount Pleasant. So
Shane, does it cover your entire system even up in Skyline Mountain Resort?
Yes. Yep.
So question for you. They make the same rates up there that we get here, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So they pay the exact same bill up there.
Mm-hmm.
They might suggest maybe just look into have them study the difference, because I know there's a time difference for just for you guys to get out there.
Yes.
If it would be worth looking into different rates out in the county versus in the city limits.
Yeah, and we have to be kind of careful with that, because I know there's certain things you can do, certain things you can't do. And so, but yeah, that's a good suggestion. I mean, we did that when we did our rates in 2014. We did do the base fee that everybody pays. So everybody pays their share, that $20. And then if you're commercial, you got the $25. And so we did do that, which is fair, which they are paying their share now. Because before, they were getting a free ride. It was always had to be there, but they weren't paying their share of maintaining the grid. But the power was always there available. And so.
We also revised the hookup rates.
Yes.
Proposed that were outside city limits.
Right.
And that was just done recently. So.
Yeah.
I think that what we ran into was we could not charge more for our power for people outside of our city limits. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we could charge additional monies because putting it in costed more. Like you say, a lot of extra travel and all that kind of stuff. But as my memory serves me, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're not allowed to charge a higher rate for citizens.
Yeah, I believe you're right, but I'll look into that.
Yeah. It's worth looking into, but I think that's the snag we run into.
There is some things we got to change on our connections and our disconnects, you know, that we got to work out. Because honestly, I'd rather have them keep their power on and then shutting it off all the time. So
let's see, it becomes a can of worms too with their billing department, you know, figuring out different rates for all the different customers and stuff.
So we have tried to keep it a little simple. We did do the irrigation rates where there's a peak rate and a non-peak rate, so we can keep because as you know, our generation, we was producing generation, we was throwing it back on the grid, getting 2 cents out of it, when if we give it back to the farmers and they're running their pumps, you know, sell it to them for a cheap rate for 4 cents. And so we did do that with the two rates, and then there's other things coming in, like down the line, prepaid, where people pay for their power, and then when they use that up, then the power goes off. And so that's coming down the road. It's coming, but we haven't seen it yet. So,
how often do you adjust your hookup fees?
The connection fees.
The connection fees.
We look at those every year.
Okay.
Yeah, we look at we try to look at our rates every 5 years. I mean, we look at them every year, but we try to at least do a study. And so I want to include our rates in on this study too, because that was 2014 we did it. So it's due. We've been pretty busy, so we haven't had a chance to look at it. But I know our rates are pretty good. So
would we be able to, with them being outside of city limits, would they be exempt from the impact fees up there?
No.
Skyline Mountain Resort?
Nope, they're still hooking to the grid.
They still have to pay that impact fee.
Yep.
Any new development up there.
Yeah. Because as we grow and everything, we will have to probably install taller poles or bigger wire and underground, and so that cost is associated with that impact fee study. And so it's going to be
and they still have to pay that.
Yes. Yeah. So anybody that hooks to the grid needs to pay that. We do it a little different out in the county. In the city limits, you just have to pay a connection fee right now.
Right.
Because the infrastructure is already supposed to be there inside the city limits. And so they pay that connection fee and they get hooked up. But outside the county, they pay everything. They pay the poles, the wires, the labor, what it costs to get to their lot for power, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
You know, because we are a municipality, a city. And so if we don't go outside our city limits, then they should cover that cost.
Yes, absolutely.
But they should pay
their... You're still a lot cheaper than Rocky
Mountain. Yeah. Okay, sorry, my three minutes is up. So.
Hey, I just have a comment. Mr. Follett, you the paper?
I am.
Did you catch all that this city is doing as far as it's a little PR here? How we're working to keep things as low as we can in all the areas. This power department does, and the utility department, they do one heck of a job with how many men? Shane?
There's five.
Five? Colt? Five? 10 men running this city? For a little PR,
I'll make a note.
I know. A lot of times I read the paper and there's nothing in there about.
And while I'm on that, I'll just comment that.
Yeah, anything positive.
I'm one of those people that's out in the county who is now paying twice as much money or more for his power pole.
Okay. We can leave that out.
It used to cost me $5.45 a month, and now it's 25 something. So,
probably because the rates went up for the city.
Well, it was the $20
minimum. The base fee. Yeah, so it was at 10 cents per kilowatt hour, and then we knocked it down to 8 cents per kilowatt hour and tacked on the $20 base fee.
Yeah, I just, for the public participation here tonight, I just say this because there's been so much negative that we're trying to, as a city council and everything, to get some PR out so people in this community know what we're trying to do as a city council and the mayor, to try to help the city and make it as affordable and as cheap to live as you can live. And I think, you know, they do one heck of a good job. I'm amazed that five people in each department can do what they do.
Yep.
And my hat's off to them.
Yep.
So for the public participation, we had Diana Prestwich sign up to come up.
I'm a handicapped person, and I love to read. And I've almost killed myself on the stairs at the library a couple of times. I was wondering if it could be fixed for handicapped people or if you could move it to the schoolhouse where it's all on one level. The old schoolhouse, I don't know what it's being used for now. And, okay, number two, the questionnaire that I received from the city, part of it I felt like was the questions that was asked was really nobody's business. The business part, yes, I understood that. And item number three, I counted like from Main Street to 12th South, I counted 71 trees in the electrical wires. I didn't know I lived in a suicidal community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Anybody want to address any of those issues?
So we don't have handicap access to the public library?
What they do is there is a sign up there that if they call the library and the library will come and assist them out in their car, so they don't have to get out. So there is a spot up there that we put in years ago for that, because it's to retrofit that, to put a like a elevator in that, it's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. A ramp.
Yeah.
So those folks can just contact someone in the library and
They're supposed to
call the library and they'll come and bring
them down and help you in.
Yes.
And out.
Well, they'll bring them down the books, so they don't have to go.
Oh, okay.
So if they know the books they want, then they can call the librarian. The librarian will bring them down to them, check them out to them, and then go.
Okay.
So it does make it bad for computer use or using other services that's inside the library. But as far as getting books, they can call them. They come down and help them. So. Jeff McDonald.
Well, thank you for letting me take a few minutes. I want to say welcome for the new city council and mayor and existing city council already here. But I just wanted to do a little bit of friendly advice just from a former council councilmen, and that is, and maybe you've already done it, maybe you already know about it, but for everyone, if you might take the time to get trained, ULCT offers training classes for new council members. Maybe you've already heard, maybe you're on their email list. I would suggest if you're not, to get on their email list. They're a very good organization. They teach you and help you learn the responsibilities of council members, of mayors, and what your responsibility is as legislatures and executive people. And they're fun classes, too. They have a lot of fun with you there. And it's good information to use, and it helps you prepare and understand, and helps you possibly even know, you know, what's important and what's not important, which, you know, is all the job. And some of the advice, some of the things you also learn there, too, is about how you manage the money, which is really important, which is the probably the biggest part of council, being a councilman, is managing the city's money and the budget. And that reminds me, when do the audit books come out from last year? When did we get those audit books?
The auditors are actually right now, they're out of freaking American Samoa or something, so probably around February they're going to have it to us.
Okay.
Sounds good. Try and get one.
And so there will be public copies available that we could come down and get a
few. They usually get a few extras.
A few extras, okay, cool. And the next thing I'd like to suggest is, when you took the office that we all listened to, you swear to uphold the Constitution. And one of the things that I did that I'm advising for you to look into is take a constitutional class. There's actually classes online. One of the best ones that I know of is Hillsdale College, and it's totally free. And they do 10 classes weekly. You get one lesson sent to you a week on the Constitution. They're very basic. They center themselves on the basic principles from the Founding Fathers, and it's really good. And I would suggest you do that too. The only other thing that I wanted to bring up that is very helpful, was helpful for me, was actually studying the Robert's Rules of Order. And that's not a critical thing, but it is what our council system is based on, of how things work here, is by the Robert's Rules of Order. And if you go and study that, you can get that online too, or you can pick up a book. You'll know how the meeting is properly run. And I'm not criticizing at all. This is just all friendly advice. It's fun actually to come. I've always thought it was fun to come down to these meetings and watch our country-style Sand Peak City Council meetings operate. They're just different, and that's okay. But there's still the basics of the Robert's Rules of Order that is important to understand and know, so that addressing people is proper, when you make the motions is proper, and the city runs, you know, like it really should. So I appreciate you giving me this opportunity. I'm glad you're all here. I know it's going to be hard work. I remember some of the things that I did. Sometimes I'd pick my packets up on Thursday night and spend the whole weekend reading and looking at the financial stuff. And Sam knows I used to call him. I used to call the power department too and ask questions. That's the job of the council, is to find out, make sure you understand what you're voting on and stuff. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Here, here.
That, incidentally, that League of Cities, they should have sent out letters.
Me and Rondi went to the training up in North Salt Lake in the first part of December.
Okay.
And I think, Sam, you attended January, didn't you, and Ethan?
Yeah, I've done others, too. And I'm still on their email list. I still get all their emails.
So you've got the manual.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it is. It's a very good class, like you say, Jeff. It's
almost from all year long, actually.
You're right. And conferences and different things. Mm-hmm. It's like drinking from the fire hose, though, first.
It is. It's fun, though. They get free food.
We have one other person that would like to participate.
Yes.
Come on up.
I spoke with Jeannie a couple of times over the last week.
Could you please state your name?
My name is Roy Drew. I'm a neighbor of Sam's. In fact, this shows you where I live. I didn't make copies of this. I don't have a copy machine, but I'm on the corner southeast corner of 3rd South and 4th East. And my purpose in coming is in regard to a sewer hookup, Colter, I think, is here tonight. That was completed on the 23rd of December, thank heaven, because we've had a lot of people in our house the last 6 months, and a 500-gallon septic system and a drain field didn't quite cut it. So my purpose in coming is to, and I've asked the folks at the office, and I haven't gotten a response yet, and I can understand that. It's the middle of winter. But I thought possibly somebody might have a projection or know what street's going to be paved or what streets are going to be paved in this coming season. And the reason I ask that is because for a 3-foot wide, 20-foot crossing of 400 East, it's going to cost, according to MKJ, $2,500 for hot top, 3 inches thick, compacted the way it's supposed to be. And if they're going to be redoing that street, because I thought there might be, but there's been a lot of building on it, especially south of us toward the schools, but it's an older street, and I've seen some other sections done. I don't want to pay $2,500 for a 3-by-20-foot piece of asphalt when somebody's going to come along probably and just maybe roll over it, you know, and put in a new street. So I'd like some consideration on that. If I can avoid that, then I wouldn't get into the other details that people have told me about how the city has helped them with their sewer hookups. There was no sewer line along 400 East and close enough to our house until Cam Johansson and his family finished theirs in the summer of 2018. And from there on, I've been paying sewer hookup, even though I haven't been using it, because of the audit that was done at the time, and it showed that we were within the 300-foot limit. So anyway, that's all been done, but the city kind of helped Johansson's, from what I understand, and I haven't had any help. And I've been paying for the hookup for the last 18 months or prior to the hookup that we do have now. So if I don't know that you can make a decision tonight, because you maybe you don't know, maybe somebody's here would know, but if they don't, I'd like some consideration in a future meeting. If I need to come in, tell me what I need to do so I don't have to pay $2,500 for a little strip of hot top, because I've already spent $3,580, and I've also paid over $300 in hookups that I didn't actually use. So anyway, $2,500 for our family is not easy to come up with, you know, and this wasn't easy to come up with.
Right. Colter was raising his hand. Maybe he can give us more information on it.
A clarification just on the city didn't actually help Johansson put their lateral in. What they did is they paid for the material for the main extension, and Cameron had to pay for the labor. And so the city didn't actually help them with their sewer to their house. They helped put the main in that you're also hooked to. And so that's the cost that was covered by the city.
So from their house to the main.
That is all on their own. They had to pay
right.
for all
and I paid I paid for that too.
Right.
But then I had to go laterally down 400 East and then across the street to hook up to that.
Right.
So it was probably over 200 feet.
It was, yeah.
And I appreciate the work that was done and so forth. And I didn't know exactly, but I've talked with other people that said that from your property line to the main isn't all your responsibility.
No, so the city turned the lateral back over to the homeowner. So you actually own from your house to where it ties into the sewer main.
Okay.
So that's your responsibility. If it plugs up,
okay.
That's That's your responsibility.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Sam.
Oh, that's, they did that back in, it's been quite a long time ago, over 10 years ago, when they turned that back over. So it is tougher for people that have long connections, but I'm the same way. I've got a long side, which basically means I've got to cross the road if I ever have issues with mine the same way. And so it is tougher for long connections because you have to pay for a road crossing. But, you know, with what you're bringing up, I don't know projected what roads are going to be planned on being done. Me personally, I think I kind of would, if, you know, if that is a road that would be projected on the list, I pay $2,500 down and just rip back up. Kind of don't make sense to me, but.
We have a lot of projects in the works that are going to create problems with the roads, and so we're reluctant to repave any roads right now. In fact, we're planning to do a lot of patching, and we've done a lot of patching this past year. And we're trying to maintain the roads in good enough condition that as we begin this irrigation project that's going to literally tear up a lot of roads, we don't want to build, same reason you're talking about, we don't want to put a lot of money into these roads and then start this new irrigation project. So we have really put a lot of emphasis this past year on just road patching so that our roads can at least be maintained. We've even chip sealed some roads to get us through this construction that we're doing now in the future. Now, if you've penetrated an existing road, and it sounds like that's maybe what you've done,
yes,
to say that we're going to pave that in the next, I don't see us doing any complete street paving probably for the next 3 years. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this irrigation project is probably going to last at least 2 years. And you know, we certainly, you know, once we know where these main lines are going to run and whatnot, and crossings and all of that stuff, until we know all of that, then we're certainly not going to build new roads and then have to come in and do all this excavation.
Yeah, well, you're in the same boat I am, only right, on a much smaller scale.
what we're trying, a much smaller budget. But what we're trying
understand
to do
what you're saying
is when new development takes place, for the city to absorb those costs of line extensions and road patching on all of that. They just crossed this brand new road that we just built down in on Fifth West. That's a heavy duty asphalt road, and there's a new development going in there, and they've just went across that road. Well, is it the city, this developer, is it the city's responsibility then to spend the money to patch that road when this, you know, this developer is doing this development that's going to bring a lot of income in for him? He should absorb those costs.
Sure.
And so we have established a situation to, rather than putting the cost on the city, if these new development wants to take place, they're going to have to absorb those costs, because it's not really, it's not fair to the city to pay for line extensions and road patching and all of that. And you, unfortunately, you're kind of in that category where you've added a new sewer line and all of that, and you
have. Well, the house has been there since 1891. I understand it's a log cabin, and it was refurbished in 1941,
right,
and then it was refurbished again in about 2002 or 2003, and they never did anything to the septic system. When I moved in, I didn't know anything about septic. I didn't ask the guy who was selling it or whatever. But anyway, you understand where I'm coming from, and I understand where you're coming from,
right.
And so
best thing we can do at this point is we appreciate your comments and your concerns. I think it's something we're just going to have to take it under advisement and see what we can come up with. I don't think it's fair to make a decision tonight without a lot of the facts.
I agree, and I just wanted to present it to you,
yeah,
and let you know where I was.
And just a suggestion for me is not against any of one contractor, but I would do more than one bid. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Maybe get some, get a couple different bids.
Thank
you. So then you have some comparables.
Yeah, I've got a comment. Next spring, we got some road patching to do, mm-hmm. and we're using a contractor to do it. And maybe we could have him give you a price. It'll be a lot cheaper, or he's doing a lot of others, rather than coming in and doing just one. So maybe he can.
Is there somebody I
can... I'll get with you. Or I'll let you know, because we don't know the contractor yet.
Okay.
What, Paul, what did they do down on Fifth West? They put a temporary...
It was just a cold patch.
They just threw some cold pack.
That's what Pat, that's what this says right now. Yeah, and that was $100. I can handle that.
Right. And so as long as you can keep that where it's not going to tear out somebody's front end, I think that's an excellent suggestion that that could maybe be included, and it might probably be a fraction of what you're talking about.
I appreciate that. Add that to the PR list.
Take all that we can get.
Paul, did you meet him also?
Yeah.
I just want to make a proposal to council. We've got a big drainage problem over around the high school area. Last year, they've done some more parking area, and anytime you get a big area paved, that water has nowhere to go but downhill. And we had a couple lots last year that flooded because of the drainage just below the superintendent office, down by Chris Sorensen and across the street from Chris Sorensen. But what I propose is putting a storm drain in from 4th East down to 2nd East, and then cross it over right there by the school district office and take it clear to State Street, and put some collection boxes on each corner to collect the surface water. That would mitigate any problem we'd ever have of drainage water. On the south side of the street, you've got the parking area, the high school, plus you've got over on the tennis courts and the school district bus area. All that water goes right over on the second or the 7th South. And it makes a big mess right there. But I'm afraid if we don't do something like this, these landowners are going to get flooded, and it's going to come back on the city. But what I propose is putting a storm drain in and trying to see if the city or the school district would split the cost with us, so it would be a minimal cost for both of us.
Is this on just the south side of the road?
No, it's on both sides.
On the north and south side.
The north side from 4th East down to 2nd East. And then we'd cross the road there, and then we'd collect all the south water too. Yeah, it would collect all of it on both sides of it. I got some pricing from Schultz's company.
So what would you do with it when you hit State Street?
We'd take it down to that ditch down on State Street. There's a ditch right there.
There's a culvert already there.
Perfect.
Put a culvert in there at the bottom on 7th.
Yeah.
It's already kicked over to the ditch from the south side. It kicks over to north and then comes across too on both sides.
That's a perfect way to get rid of the water. It won't cause any problems anywhere else.
We need more ditches back, because that's our road problems.
Yeah.
To get rid of the water.
The price of the pipe is approximately $39,000, and then the collection box would be another $4,000. So you're looking at, and Mont left. Mont said that he could possibly try to get some money from the RDA because it is a public safety issue and a health issue. So he's thinking that there's a possibility we get some money from the RDA to help mitigate the cost on this.
Has anybody talked to the school?
I went up there, but I wasn't able to. I will. I'll pursue this and get it nailed down right to the penny, but I just wanted to see if you guys are okay that I pursue this.
So what kind of a drain system are you talking about? Are you talking about a solid culvert?
Yeah, it'd be that HDPE, that black
But you would have collector boxes for collect to.
I put a sump in up on 4th East last year, and it worked until we got a good storm, and then it just filled up. But we could use that as a collection box. We could just cut a hole in it and start right there. And that would mitigate one of the boxes, or eliminate one of the collection boxes. It's already there. So.
Right.
And I know we talked about back in the past today with the issue with it, with doing culverts, and that it's just, it's an added workload for, because you got to clean them every, I mean, if you're going to have them in place, they're going to be cleaned at least every year or two, and so it's added maintenance. Just, I'm not saying one way or other, just, you know, just as a thought process, I know that there's a lot of maintenance included in them too, so there is an issue. I know on 2nd East is really bad.
Yeah.
The road's actually starting to have some major soft spots in it. I've noticed up there the last couple of days, so it is a big issue.
Yeah, and it washes down there, and it's washed gravel down and made a big, it's made a mess down there. But anyway,
Chris Thornton made the statement that it was eroding the road itself. It was getting under the edge of the road and taking the road base away and causing trouble with the road. So we could get it underground.
Yeah.
All we do maintenance-wise, what? Take a fire truck, open the fire hydrant up, flush it, or what do you do to?
You can pull a grade on a catch basin, just show up catch basin, and
we forgot the back truck.
Keep your lines clean.
Clean
and just like, basically like cleaning, somewhat say cleaning the sewer, just only you're cleaning dirt versus sewer water.
But my what I've seen with storm drains, they stay clean. They don't.
No, that's what I thought.
Yeah, they don't.
My water going well through there with. But I've been up past there after a good rainstorm, and it is a mess.
Well, and that's, you get one of the big thunderstorms, and it creates a 2-foot trench right there on the shoulder of the road, and that's a hazard, because if folks don't see that and try to pull off the road, they're going to get stuck in that. Or trip.
Yeah, we take the grader over and grade it, and the next storm, it's...
You can't pull off the shoulder there, or you'll drive right in it.
Anyway.
Big hole.
So you're collecting pricing find the money to fund it.
And then I'll come back to you. I'd like to do this before we
the spring run off.
Yeah, when it thaws out pretty good, you know, the snow's gone, but not too late. So it'd only take a week, 10 days to do the project.
So what do we need to do? You need to make a motion, but we...
We give him permission to go to the school district, basically, to talk to him to see if they're willing to help.
Just let me pursue this and something that you guys...
To this point, we
appreciate your efforts on it, so...
Yeah. And while I'm here, just to let the public know, on the roads, working with Justin, we've come across a product that is a lot cheaper than asphalt, and it's actually... It'll last longer, it won't crack, it won't break, it's easy to put down, but we don't want to do it until we get this irrigation project, we just don't want to dig it back up. So be a little patient with us, because we're working on these roads, and that's one of our priorities, is trying to get these roads fixed, because it's bad, and we know that it's bad.
Were we still thinking of doing that test section on that?
Yeah, we're doing a test section this spring at the airport.
Anyway.
And I had a question about that. We're going to have a plan, I'm assuming. Maybe we already have a plan of where the new pipe for this irrigation system is going to be placed and routed. I'm wondering if all roads are going to be affected by this, or if there'll be some roads that will be unaffected and we can... proceed with those.
I've asked JUB, the engineers, and they don't know yet.
So we're just kind of...
would like to do a road, and they would pay for the material, but we don't know where their irrigation pipes are going.
Until we get that plan.
Yeah.
A drawing.
And so, Paul, a quick question. I don't know, because I wasn't involved in that. Do you... So what was... I mean, is the area you're testing this in the industrial park, is it... Is it going to be high traffic like it would be in town, or is it going to be sitting out there with not as much traffic, so it's a hard study to compare to?
We're thinking it's going to be some good truck traffic.
The engineer.
Heavy vehicles, but it's going to be a lot.
some more semi-type vehicles that'll be heavier versus...
Yes, Sheila.
Questions? When will that irrigation system that you're putting in, when will that begin?
We meet with them again Thursday. We don't have an actual date. That is a meeting that I had to bring up to the council that we're meeting again with them on Thursday at 2 o'clock.
Because then the roads are being indefinitely put off until you get something going here.
Well, we've got the money for this irrigation project. We've got $18 million for this project. They have to do the EIS studies, the environmental studies. They have to engineer it and all that. And it just takes time. So we think next year they'll probably put it out for bids. It should be ready by
next
2021.
So it'll be another year.
It'll be another year.
Before they bid it. And then it's going to take a year, possibly 2 years to build it. So it's a big project.
Government moves slow.
And there's no way the squeaky wheel can get a grease.
Once we know, once they get the plan...
Once it's engineered, the pipes designed on the roads.
Then we can actually put pipes where we know the irrigation lines are going to go. And we can put them in before the irrigation is completed. And we can start on the roads.
I know we're really close to 30% done on our design phase.
Right.
Yeah, see, we've talked about that, just stubbing the pipe under the roads and so they wouldn't have to dig them up.
Right.
Once we know where it's going. That's what Paul's talking about, just stubbing out each side. Yeah.
As it should be.
In fact, that's one thing we're looking at because we've got that grant to go into Aspen Village Trailer Park up there to redo the roads. And that's what we're saying, to do new water lines and roads in there, and we need to have that irrigation line in at the same time so we're not digging that back up again. So.
Lots going on.
Finally, things are coming to fruition where we're at least getting a start on, but we're going to have to be patient through the construction process. That's why, I mean, we're trying to do a lot of patching so that they'll hold together, but this is not a small project, and it is. It's going to require a lot of patience and some time, but the finished product will be nice. And it'll be worth it.
Dan, did you have a comment?
I just said that when we started this project, it was supposed to be a three-year project. A year and a half of development, a year to design it after the EPA assessment, and a year to construct it. That was their original goal. So we're into it a year and a half now, and close to a year and a half. And they have started on the engineering process. But it looked like it would almost impact every street in the city in their lines. But again, they haven't got the final.
I've got drawings enough to know for sure.
Yeah, the hydraulics and everything that goes along with it is quite intense.
When you consider that every home or every lot will have a hookup, now you're putting in a system that's just like your culinary system. It's kind of, there'll be lines running down every road. And so it's going to be quite an improvement over what we've got.
And a meter on every service.
And a meter on every service, yeah.
And a lot more water storage.
Any other public participation?
I'd just like to say maybe we need to change more often because it's neat to have a big turnout to our city council meeting and receive it. This is really cool. So we need your input. so that we can make good decisions. And take time to fill out this survey that's been going around.
The county, the questions are valuable.
No, the county people don't get it. It's gone out to, supposed to have gone out to every utility.
Yeah, if they're on a utility, it probably would.
But it's in the city limits. He did pull it to the city limits. City addresses, so. Right.
I do have a comment as a resident living outside of the city limits. It would be nice to have some say in some of the stuff that affects those people that are connected to the power outside of the city. But we currently don't have any vote on anything that the city council does because we're not in the city. We do have power from the city, but we can't even vote against anything that's proposed or suggested. So we hope that you will treat people living out in the county fairly.
So, go ahead, Sam.
So, not open a can of worms, but as far as voting, yeah, you guys don't have much say. My recommendation is if you know we're doing something on power, come to a council meeting and give us some ideas or something. I mean, if you don't hear nothing, then it's hard to understand.
You're part of the system. You're just more than anybody else.
You know.
The only thing that bugs me personally is that I have two power meters at my house, and I'm paying the $20 fee for both, for each. Mm-hmm. And that's only there because there's a power meter for the well and a power meter for the house.
Could you?
And I know they could be consolidated, but the problem is there's three homes using the well.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And the city used to send separate bills for each one of the homeowners, but they discontinued that, gosh, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. So they sent the bill to me, and I have to split it.
You're the collection agency?
I'm the collection agency, yes.
So we've done that with quite a few customers up Skyline. They've had two meters, and we consolidated them together to get them one. So that kind of
if I didn't have two other homeowners on the well, that would be on my agenda to do. Mm-hmm. But instead, maybe we'll put in our own well and get off of that one. I don't know.
The other option I think is still available, isn't it, Shane, that they can do their own sub-meter?
Yeah.
You can do your own sub-meter.
You do a master meter, then just use your meter to run your house. You know what's going to be running your house, and then the meter that runs the well, take those two readings each month from the one master meter, and then there you go. You could do it that way. You only got one meter.
But would the city tell me what the charges for the well?
No, that'd be your responsibility.
Yeah, see, I'm back to figuring it out. Yeah.
You can figure it out though off your usage off the meter.
Yeah.
And then you'd know how much it was per kilowatt, so you could do it yourself real easy.
Yeah.
So instead of 2 meters, you'd actually have 3 meters.
But you'd only be paying for one. Well, thank you.
All right, next item on the agenda, discuss of meeting schedules and times. I know there was some conflict with new city councilman. I was at 4 o'clock meeting. So I want to discuss it.
Maybe just an overview on the 4 o'clock meeting was established. We're required to hold one city council meeting a month. And because we approve all of the bills that the city is responsible to pay, we implemented a second meeting, and it was the early meeting, the 4 o'clock meeting, so that our treasurer and everybody involved could get bills paid on a little more timely basis. So we don't conduct a lot of business on the second meeting other than basically approving claims and rarely have public input and all that kind of stuff. So having said that, if we could eliminate that meeting, but we may face that same problem again, I'd probably want some input from our finance director to make a decision there, but as far as the times, if 4 o'clock's a bad time, we can move it back. I think we did it at 4 o'clock. A reason for that was we have our city employees that are typically here till 5 o'clock, and it would require them to stay, you know, an hour after, say we started the meeting at 5 or 6, then they basically are on the clock, if you will, way after hours. So it was mainly just a courtesy move for them. So if you want to, having said that, now I'm open to suggestions and discussion. It really doesn't matter to me because I can get off when I need to, but I can see where it might be a problem if you're working an 8-to-5 job or something like that.
I second with Kevin. There's a problem. Whatever you come up with, good with me.
So, yeah. And you might be in the same situation, man. It might be difficult for you to get here at 4 o'clock.
Sometimes it is. That's why I would like to see us move to 6 o'clock myself.
Or even 6:30 so that there's no confusion.
Well, we'll always have the... Yeah, I guess that's true, too. Other than Kevin brings up a good point for the city workers that stick around an hour. If we have it at 6 o'clock, we do our CDRA meeting, the first one, and so we'd still be, us counseling, you'd still be in the habit of coming at 6 o'clock.
Right.
And see, we only do one CDRA meeting a month. We don't have two of them, right. Just one of them. So we could still start at 6 o'clock, like you say, to keep it consistent. The only thing is it'd be city council instead of CDRA.
Right. I want to throw it out to the public, too, because I've heard a lot of public say that they would be more... They would like to see it even because they feel like they could get off work and be able to attend if there's an issue.
Well, so, then you're back to conducting a full-fledged meeting where, in reality, and we can receive input,
right.
You know, once a month is usually adequate. But I think then you go back to a full-fledged meeting where we're just not required to do that, and for good reason. It's a lot of extra planning and preparation to put together a full-fledged meeting. It was mainly set up just to provide a resource that we could pay our bills a little more timely. Otherwise, you got vendors and suppliers and contractors that are needing a draw, and they've either got to call everybody and get approval on it, or so.
Yeah, we're getting charged late fees too.
Yeah, late fees. So,
right.
Any suggestions from the financial director up there?
It doesn't matter too much to me. I would defer more to what the council wants. If you're not wanting a full fledged second meeting, but just want to pass the claims, I'd just remind you too, you can just, we could just only have one item pass the claims, and you can do that by telephonic even. So, it's not like you have to take an hour off. It could just be a 10-minute meeting on that second one. And we can try to have that real quick.
You mean not even come to
City Hall? Don't have to come to City Hall, yeah.
Oh, I see.
And you can participate by phone, and if all you do is going over the claims register, doesn't involve as much participation.
The only thought I have, like you say, the time is hard for me, but as far as what kind of meeting, the only thing that my thought process is on it is once a month, sometimes as the city's growing, sometimes maybe it's a hard time for somebody to make that full month before they'd be able to get back on a council. Maybe having just the option of if somebody needed to, that extra council meeting could help that situation. But, I mean, I don't know if that's very far or few in between, but... I mean, reality is here for public and to help the city overall.
Just try to schedule everything you can at the first council meeting, then have to keep the second one at 6 o'clock and then...
As short as we can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. If it
Works better if we need to be here for, because at 4 o'clock, that's a hard time to, you know, to break off and get away. It was hard for us.
So it'd actually be better for you, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Better for the public works people, harder on the office people.
Yeah, like some of them won't be spent here since 8 o'clock and have a plan.
Yeah.
It's hard when you have a family and stuff to do that. But it is only twice a month too, so.
I would like to see us change it to 6 myself.
I like the 6 o'clock schedule.
And I don't know if we have to have a motion to.
Well, it's one of those things where we can make a decision to change our meeting schedule. And just for the record, we could entertain a motion. I'm okay with it at 6 o'clock. I know it's going to be a little extra burden. It's one more meeting before you lay. You'd already do this one, the first meeting. But I think under the circumstances, I think it can be a short meeting and maybe trade off even. I don't know. I mean, we'd need a recorder and so forth there, but we could maybe even trade that off. You got an assistant recorder that could take the minutes. And
yeah, because that's why Mary was for you in today, because she is, you know, deputized as a deputy recorder,
right,
rather than one of us. But so, yeah, it wouldn't hurt for her to come and learn it so that she could have filled in. She just doesn't know anything about any of this to fill in tonight.
Right.
So, it wouldn't hurt.
So,
Dan?
It has to be done by an ordinance. So, you can discuss it now, but the ordinance would have to be changed.
To establish the meeting schedule?
Yes. It's an ordinance that has to be changed in order to do that.
So we have an ordinance currently that states the 4 o'clock meeting?
Yes.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
I wasn't either. That we just had to put.
Maybe we just have to amend that ordinance.
Yes.
Is what we'd have to do. We could amend that ordinance.
Right.
I don't think we'd have to change the ordinance because we're not changing. We're still having the meeting. So we'd just amend the time.
Right.
Is what we'd do.
And then leave it closed to the public participation. Don't do any public. Just approve.
Same as the way it is right now. We just amend. And basically, I think what let's do is just make a recommendation that we review that ordinance and amend it accordingly to accommodate the 6 o'clock time. So if we're all in agreement with that, we would have to review the ordinance. We can do that tomorrow and then come up with an amendment to amend the ordinance. And that'll have to be done in a public meeting. So, but I think it could be done by, we're still going to do this meeting on the 28th, right?
Yeah, and it still has to be 4 o'clock because we can't get it advertised and everything done. But so,
right.
So the 28th would still be at 4 o'clock, but then going forward,
right,
we could have it ready.
So it could be done, you know, we could start the process the 28th and then have it ready to go for February.
Any objection to that? Okay. Report from city council members.
Let's see. As far as, are you starting with me?
Yes.
So,
seniority here, so.
Typically, what we've done in the past is each city council member has different responsibilities. We've lost two city council members, Heidi. Heidi's responsibilities were with the celebrations, the city royalties, the library, beautification, the youth city council, and recreation programs. Keith, he was over our public buildings. We call them public use facilities, which encompassed all of our buildings and all of our grounds, city park, the library, rec center, etc. And then he also helped with celebrations and cemetery and so forth. My responsibilities are with the irrigation system, the rodeo, also secondary. We have primary and secondary responsibilities, culinary water, wastewater, and public use facilities. Russell is primary is wastewater, pool operations and programs, safety, irrigation systems, streets and walks, and recreation programs. Justin's is streets and walks, culinary water. He works with the CDRA and he's familiar with these other programs that we work with. So, having said that, did I miss anybody? Having said that, as far as the irrigation, we've went to a once a month meeting. I think JUB was wanting to implement a once a month meeting as this irrigation process is underway. They did cancel the December meeting, and now we've got another meeting scheduled for the 16th of January, which is this Thursday. So during the winter months, a lot of things slow down. There's no celebrations going on. I think we did have our lighting ceremony and all of that sort of thing, but it's something that as new city council members and stuff comes on board, everybody's come on board to assist with different areas of the community. And if you have, I explained what Keith and Heidi were doing. I assume Russell will continue to assume his, but these can be adjusted. These can be changed around a little bit. I will say that Justin is familiar with what he's been doing, and I'm familiar with what I've been doing. But there's areas, and just because that's one of your focus areas doesn't mean there's more than one person on that. It's just like if I can't beat it, irrigation meeting, I've got Russ to fall back on and so forth and so on. And either one of you could be on that same situation. So we didn't have a meeting with the irrigation this past month, and I think Dan has already stated that the impact studies have been underway and the engineering is well underway, and we'll get updated again this Thursday on where we're going from now. From here, as far as any of the other construction projects that have been going, everything's kind of in winter mode. So I have noticed that there is a lot of, because it's winter, a lot of work is being done indoors. They've been doing some work on the recreation center, and so that's the way we plan it, so that we can be upgrading things in the buildings and so forth. So there's times when you can't do anything outside, and it's good to have people responsible for the building, the remodeling and upgrading of the building. So that's where we're at with that. And I don't know, Russ has probably got some things to report on.
No, really. I talked to Brittany up there. She's, of course, walking in dressing rooms and everything, and she's in the process of working through that, seeing what we can do on that, on her side. Of course, it'll come down to us. And what, I don't know if we can get the old school. It might cost us more to do it there, to go over and remodel that to fit the needs that she has up there than the will to build one. So we have that. And Stephanie, she's into her winter sports or basketball. You're transitioning into the spring stuff. So that's about all I got there as far as the irrigation. Nothing other than attending the meetings.
Yeah.
So that's all I got to report on.
Ron?
I just want to compliment the Public Works Department for a good job they've done on clearing the snow off the roads. Dan and Dave and Lynn and and Coulter did a great job, I thought, last time we had a big storm. I took my kids to school at 8 in the morning, and they had everything pushed and solid, so. Yeah, I was impressed to see that. It's a lot of work to get done by 8 in the morning.
Having it done before everybody gets up and going.
Yeah, so that was neat to see.
Sam?
I'm good. I can keep, I don't know if safety, I was just going to ask if safety kind of covered, I know Keith was kind of over fire, but I don't know if that's tied into your safety, if that's what you're considering safety.
I think I've had the safety. I haven't. I've been to one of their meetings. Go up and meet with them, but if that's something with the fire department, you might be good there.
We need to look at that and discuss. And
Maybe decide that he's put me where I went, so.
No, I just didn't know what safety meant, overall safety, like public safety or what, that's what
it's just like this, the library situation, having access and being, we don't want people falling and getting hurt. And if there's things we can do to improve that situation, I know we've had problems with some of our apartments and doors and whatnot, having proper egress and all, there's just dozens of things that we deal with, and sidewalks in good repair and all that stuff. So, yes, that would definitely be a good thing to have somebody that's responsibility to work.
Everything I have to report is basically been brought up. We'll meet with the engineers on Thursday, and the 10-year survey. Encourage people to respond to it. I think that's important that we try to encourage everyone to do that. And there's a UAMPS meeting. What's the calendar? The 23rd.
23rd.
In Fairview at 4 o'clock. So everybody, you got notice in your mailbox, try and attend that if you can.
That's another thing. We had Dan that was, took responsibility for power because he had a background in power. And so that's something that's wide open right now, too, is having somebody that attends these meetings. Russ, I guess, has attended some as well. It's important that we have representation. And, for the mayor to attend all of these meetings and whatnot, it just gets tough, and it's nice when a council member can take that responsibility and then report back. So,
So on that UNAM, so you guys can RSVP or just let me know on all our RSVP is.
Okay. All right, George, put me down, right?
I did already email it.
Okay.
So. If there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and adjourn.
Good job. I'm impressed. Maybe. Last your time.
Pardon me? Yeah, I think so.